God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
First created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke, said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There's a reason that I'm going to continue to talk about the modified RNA injections. On this show, we often ask, what is the top news story to God? We can't think like God, but we can consult his word. We can read the gospel. We can share the gospel. We can spend time in the body of Christ. And we can look at the focus, the Lord Jesus, as he went back to heaven. Go and make disciples of all nations. So I would wager that the top news story to God is still the fact that free redemption is available in the blood of Christ Jesus. I would wager that's the top news story until its decision has been made. And until you've made your final decision. At that point, the story changes. We are not driven necessarily by news cycle. We do respond to it, and some days we do breaking news, but there's a reason that I'm going to talk about the modified RNA injections, and it has to do with God Almighty. We are also told to be fruitful and multiply. We were. And the COVID shots are making that very, very difficult for some people, if not impossible. And they're also taking lives. By the design of them, whether this is on purpose or not, I don't know. I do know that they're generationally harmful. The reason we're talking about it is there is an effort by people who were involved in the decision to force this upon society. There's an effort to cover tracks because truth is stalking them. God is truth. He's light as well. In him, there's no darkness at all, but he is literally the truth. Lord Jesus was once asked about quoting the law. A rabbi upset, and Jesus said, I am the law. Indeed. And the law is the truth. There's a reason that I won't stop talking about it, because the people who did this aren't done doing it. They're not done talking about it. They're not done doing it. Bill Gates wants everyone to be injected with modified RNA.
Making the mRNA is really easy and really cheap, and that's the magic of this thing. But there's no doubt in the next 5 years, we can, you know, we just need to mess around. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles, and some are very self-assembling. There's no inherent reason it's not thermal stable, it's not cheap, and it's not scalable. And so as over the 5 years, we fix that part of it, mature it, which is very typical, we'll be able to build factories worldwide that can make $2 vaccines with even less lead time than we've had to have here during this pandemic. And we'll use those, as you suggest, for every disease that we don't have vaccines, we will try mRNA. In fact, for HIV, we have multiple ways, one that's more of a B-cell approach, one that's more of a T-cell approach. You know, for malaria, we have multiple ideas. For TB, we have multiple ideas. And so to fill in the missing vaccines, we'll make a lot of our bets of the Gates Foundation and others who care about global health will be mRNA-focused.
That's a man who favors abortion at just about any time. And he said the words, we just need to mess around with even less lead time. Do you hear any repentance? I hear glee. Bill Gates messed around with Common Core in the schools, and it destroyed a generation of kids. Ability to actually enjoy doing math. Absolutely destroyed the ability for kids to understand the difference between opinions and feelings, which is another thing Common Core did. These injections don't need more messing around. If Bill Gates would like to mess around, I invite him to mess around with his own body, not ours. So Gates is not repentant. Doesn't need to be. He's not at risk. Robert Redfield, who was technically Tony Fauci's boss, isn't that interesting? Fauci appeared to run circles around Redfield, but Redfield was technically the boss. He said during the entire lockdown fiasco, he actually said from time to time that there wasn't a lot of reason to lock kids down. But he was kind of a, I don't want to say meek voice, because the meek shall inherit. He was timid. He was a timid voice, sort of suggesting in the corner, there's not a lot of reason to lock kids away, instead of coming out and demanding a stop to it. Robert Redfield was central to the decision to deploy the mRNA. After all, he was again Fauci's boss. Well, at least on paper and an org chart. So I truly hope the former CDC boss, Robert Redfield, has had an actual awakening. It is not just trying to get ahead of the ruin he helped cause. Here he is with Chris Cuomo.
Those of us that tried to suggest there may be significant side effects from vaccines, we kind of, like with the rest of your show that you had early on, we kind of got canceled because no one wanted to talk about the potential that there was a problem from the vaccines because they were afraid that that would cause people not to want to get vaccinated. The reality is, I was part of Warp Speed. These are important vaccines. We saved a lot of lives. They're important for the most vulnerable people, those over 65 years of age. They really aren't that critical for those of that are under 50 or younger. But those vaccines saved a lot of lives, but they're also, we have to be honest, some people got significant side effects from the vaccine. I have a number of people that are quite ill, and they never had COVID, but they are ill from the vaccine. And we just have to acknowledge that.
Well, and they were killed by it. Robert Redfield, they were killed. And it's generationally likely to kill people because it's changed the human DNA in some people. Now, how could I say that? Because during in vitro studies, this is actually taking human DNA and introducing the injection, watching it reverse transcribe itself into human DNA, watching that happen. The amount of DNA included in these injections has never been seen before, and it wasn't supposed to be there. The amount of, cancer being caused by this was predicted. So I'm not done talking about this because they're not done doing it to us. Robert Redfield said he was shut down. He was basically canceled. You were the CDC director, sir. You could have called a press conference, sir. You could have gone straight to Congress. You could have gone straight to the media. Anyone would have put you on TV. And you could have said what you're saying now. But you didn't. There's an effort for people to get ahead of what's coming because what's coming is a true awakening. There are already finally lawsuits, and they're proceeding for harms because of lying. A Utah man is suing his doctor because the doctor did not give him informed consent, did not tell him the truth about these injections, and there's going to be more. You remember when Tony Fauci went door to door lying to people about the modified RNA shots and he got called out by an alert citizen?
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually,
yeah,
too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. When you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, it's something else going on with that.
You're right. But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all, campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
Beautiful. And he was with the so-called mayor of D.C., Bowser, as they were going around shaming people who hadn't gotten injected. Incidentally, that number that Fauci was quoting, died from COVID, liar. It was with COVID. There's a reason I'm not done talking about this. God said, be fruitful and multiply. And these injections are making it impossible for many people to do that. Most of my friends are not quite half my age, close to half my age, most of my friends, because of what I do. They can't have babies. I can't tell you how many couples are struggling to have babies all of a sudden. And globally, there was only one big change to public health, the injections. And these numbers are happening in mass injection countries. The same organizations that pushed the medically useless, injurious, and deadly mRNA shots in the world also pushed men and boys into women and girls' sports. Listen to the crowd in Oregon react to a boy named Aiden Gallagher, who pretends to be a girl after he stole a state track title from girls. The booing. Well, at least the crowd is free to boo. Tomorrow, I'll give you the audio of a parent who was at the track meet, and a journalist asked her, are girls upset with this? They are. Are parents? They are, but they can't speak out because their kids won't be allowed to compete in sports. They can't speak out. See, these are the same organizations. There's a reason I'm not done talking about COVID, because it's not about COVID. It's about a war for our bodies. It's about a war for God's design. Please, please, please go back and think about what Bill Gates is talking about, messing around with mRNA in our bodies. Please, please, please remember this. He referred to the modified RNA injections as a platform. That's tech speak. He sees you and your precious children, your babies, grandbabies, he sees you as uninstalled user bases. He sees you as devices with no apps. He sees me the same way. He wants to rewrite the operating system of our bodies so he can control the apps. Now, remember this, I beg you. The same organizations that told parents, you can either agree to have your kid, your daughter, shot up with testosterone and sexually mutilated in surgery, or your daughter will kill herself, are the same people who told you, if you don't get injected, no one's safe. You are literally killing your grandma and grandpa. Kids are literally killing their grandparents if they go around them before they're injected. It's the same swindle. The end game is to get code in our bodies or to change our bodies in ways that God did not intend. This is where we're at. There's a spiritual component to all of this, and it goes to megalomania. It goes to a man who wants to block the sun, who literally says of the sun, God said, let there be light. Bill Gates saying, no, but not that much. Not in these areas. We need to block some of that. That's how monumental this battle is. I beg you to think of all the interlocking pieces between the lie of transgenderism funded by pharma, perpetrated by the sexual left, perpetrated by government dividing us, and the approach on the injections. It's the same approach. We can't quit talking about this because they're not done doing it to us. We live in a world described by the Bible. Good will be called evil and evil will be called good. We need to be the ones who stand and look and cast an eye at every public effort and compare it to the fruit of the Spirit. Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Or is it the desires of the flesh? Do these people love as God intended, with patience and kindness and keeping no list of grievances? Or are they instead driven towards human power? Now, see, we have our code, the Bible, God's word. They have theirs, the mRNA, and wrong sex hormones. Our code is truth itself. Theirs, well, it's the opposite. It is the lie. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. I was just reading, welcome back to Disciples View, just reading Show Prep Never Stops. That's what my radio mentor, God rest, Rush Limbaugh, used to say. I just saw this from the Pope. Quote, this is from 60 Minutes. We're fundamentally good, the Pope speaking. We are fundamentally good. Yes, there are some rogues and sinners, but the heart itself is good, Pope Francis says. And you probably already pulled up the scripture in your mind of Mark 10:18. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Do you remember that exchange? I always found that shocking. The Lord Jesus saying, why are you calling me good? Because you're Jesus. Now, it's part of Mark 10, and it's Jesus had left the place and went into the region of Judea across from the Jordan. Crowds of people came to him, as was his custom. He taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? He replied. They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law. That's the Lord Jesus saying your hearts were hard. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this, and he answered them. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. So Jesus talked about the hardness of the heart. He talked about the rules of marriage. He talked about how they came to be. And then it is later in this passage that the rich young ruler comes. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? And this is where Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Famously, the young man said, teacher, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The man's heart could not trust that if he gave it all away, that he'd have enough in Jesus. Mine doesn't either. Is yours? Yeah, I fear finances sometimes. Do you? It's because my heart cannot be good. Sometimes it's suspicious, even of God's providence, even of what he supplies. So to hear the Pope say, our hearts are good. We are fundamentally good. Yes, there are some rogues and sinners, but the heart itself is good. No. We're broken in sin. This is the reason that we need Jesus. We'll try to get the whole or better part of this clip on and play it and analyze it in a more responsible way, but it just came across my desk. I fear for this Pope. I fear for what he can do to the flock. All my friends who are Catholic have said, look, Todd, we've had bad popes before. None of my friends who are Catholic admire this Pope. I've had friends, in fact, leave mainstream Catholic churches and go now to the Latin Mass and some of the more Orthodox Catholic churches, and they never thought they'd do that. But we're in these times the Bible warned us about. And of course, there was the law, and we couldn't fulfill it. But at least there was the law. In our nation, there is law, and then there is lawlessness masquerading as law. Now, see, when lawlessness masquerades as law, there's an easy way to describe it. Because people hear lawlessness and it seems lofty. Well, give me an example. Okay, there's this. If you were driving down the freeway and you got pulled over by a police officer, you'd stop, right? I mean, in the separate countries of California and Washington, you don't have to stop. That's up to you. No, you don't have to stop. You can just keep driving and then the police have to stop chasing you. No, they're trying to change it, but that's a law right now in the separate country of Washington. But you would stop. You're listening to AFR. You would stop. So you pull over and the police officer comes to your car. And he says, driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, please. You say, good morning, officer. Yes, sir. May I reach into my glove compartment? And he says, yes, thank you. And you reach into the glove compartment, you get your documents. And then you say to the officer, by the way, why'd you pull me over? He goes, I felt like it. Pardon me, officer? I felt like it. Did I commit an infraction? Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how our conversation goes. I haven't decided yet. How's that feel? How would that feel? I mean, this is a police officer. Would you be saying, wait, are you really a cop? Police officers don't do this. They do in lawless countries. What crime did I commit? How much money do you have? Well, I guess I've got $500. Well, then you committed a $500 crime. See, that's the personal way to describe lawlessness. Another personal way to describe it is this. If you've ever been around a family where the father is a drunkard, sometimes he's a very nice dad. Sometimes he's fun to be around. Sometimes he's frightening. Sometimes it's okay for the kid to sit on the couch. Other times it'll earn you a beating. I had a couple of friends with dads like this. We'd go over to their house to get them to go out for the night. And you could sense it when you walked in. It was a bad night. Now the dad had turned bad. Well, I remember being at one friend's house. His dad came out and I was wearing my Letterman jacket and he came and pushed me and said, I had one of those. And my friend Randy looked at me and shook his head, sad. I was just sad, but it was lawless. See, these are personal aspects of lawlessness. What we're watching in Washington, D.C. is another example of lawlessness as people lord their power over others, the same thing the Lord Jesus told us not to do with our broken hearts, with our sin nature. We lack goodness, unlike what the Pope says. Representative Anna Paulina has reminded Congress of the inherent contempt of Congress powers they can use to hold lawless Merrick Garland and others accountable.
During my time off for maternity, after I was told that I could not vote, I actually spent that time reading the House Rulebook and Manual. And there's something that hasn't been used since the early 1900s called inherent contempt of Congress. It's actually something that any one individual member reserves. The Attorney General thought he was above the law and did not comply not just with one subpoena but with two subpoenas. Those are subpoenas from both Chairman Jordan and Chairman Comer. I want to read this to you because ultimately, if in 10 days the Department of Justice does not do their job and hold the Attorney General responsible, just like they would any other American, I think that it should be our job in the House of Representatives to bring an inherent contempt proceeding against the Attorney General, of which I've already filed that privilege motion over a week ago. I would like to read it real quickly in saying that resolved that if in 10 days after the passage of this report, the Department of Justice has failed to indict Attorney General Garland, the Speaker of the House of Representatives shall issue his warrant commanding the Sergeant-at-Arms or his duty to take into custody the body of the said Attorney General Garland, wherever found, and bring him to the said Attorney General Garland before the bar of the House of Representatives, then and there to provide documents, materials, and answer such questions pertinent to the matter under inquiry as the House of Representatives may order the Speaker of the House of Representatives to propound and to keep the said Attorney General Garland in custody to await further orders of the House of Representatives. This is something that we reserve as an authority in order to bring back order to a House that has seemed to have forgotten it.
This is because the so-called Attorney General, who is a lawless man, has refused and defied two congressional subpoenas from Chairman Jordan and Comer. Chairman's. He's just saying, I won't do it. Now, you see, those personal cases I gave you of lawlessness, that would really, really frighten me to get pulled over by a police officer. And I haven't decided if I'm giving you a ticket yet. Guess it depends on how our conversation goes. Well, did I commit a crime? Maybe. When you have this attitude in Washington, D.C., with Merrick Garland saying, I'm not going to do what you say. Try it. Try it in real life. Try it with them. When the IRS says, we want receipts for those deductions, say, nah, I don't think I will. Try it. See, we either have laws or we have suggestions. In the case of God Almighty, we had the law. We couldn't live to it. Couldn't be done. So he brought Jesus to fulfill the law, the only man, fully God, fully human, who could do that, and to reveal to us our broken nature, our sin nature, that none of us are good and we need Jesus. In the case of Washington, D.C., the law itself is the weapon. Here's Merrick Garland, who was just being talked about by Representative Luna. Here's Merrick Garland complaining about the unprecedented, unfounded attacks on the Justice Department.
The Justice Department is a fundamental institution of our democracy. People depend on us to ensure that our investigations and our prosecutions are conducted according to the facts and the law and without political influence. We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests. But this is not one. To the contrary, this is one that would harm our ability in the future to successfully pursue sensitive investigations. Now, there have been a series of unprecedented and, frankly, unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files is just the most recent. The effort to threaten to defund our investigations and the way in which there are contributions to an atmosphere that puts our agents and our prosecutors at risk, these are wrong. Look, the only thing I can do is continue to do the right thing. I will protect this building and its people.
So what this is about, by the way, we can stop that, Randy. What this is about is very simple. The Department of Justice did an investigation into the figurehead Biden. In that investigation, the investigator came back and said, this man is too mentally feeble to stand trial. I'm paraphrasing, but that's effectively what he said. This man is too mentally feeble to stand trial. This man has the nuclear codes. This man is being caused to try to imprison his number one political opponent. This man, Merrick Garland, does not want the documents released as regards the investigation, which is now pertinent to the mental capabilities of the guy running the nation, we're told. Now, remember, Merrick Garland's record on law. Do you remember the attempt to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh? The media doesn't. It's disappeared. Where's the rigor on that? They just increased the number of January 6th participants they arrested last month. It went up. Where's the focus on how and why this guy went to go assassinate Kavanaugh? Or this, the arrests of people who sang songs in abortion clinics in an attempt to bring light to what abortion is. They're going to prison. The people who protested outside of the houses of Supreme Court justices with guillotines and hanging ropes, which is pointedly illegal. If you're protesting outside of Supreme Court justices' home with an attempt to affect their decision, you're breaking federal law. One is prosecuted, one is not. Merrick Garland is that small town sheriff or big town cop saying, I don't know. I might charge you, but whose side are you on? Okay, there's the question. Whose side are we on? In the case of God's law, it applied to all of us equally. None of us could fulfill it, only Jesus. In regard to Jesus Christ and his blood, his sacred, sacred blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, the promise of redemption, the offer of redemption, the offer to be saved, is open to anybody who will take it, sincerely committing their lives to the Lord Jesus, recognizing him as Savior and seeking to be changed by him, following him. It's available to everybody. Jesus Christ himself doesn't say, well, if I feel like it, I'll give you redemption. He's offering it. That gives you some hint, I think, of how Merrick Garland views himself. Well above God, where laws are fluid. They're then not laws. And I go back to the example of the dysfunctional home. What comes from circumstances where one day your dad wants to play football or baseball with you in the backyard, give you a loving hug and a noogie when he can come home, and the next day he punches you in the face and breaks your nose? Well, I can tell you this, in the case of my friend Randy, what came out was a suicide at the age of 31. His brother waited longer. He committed suicide at the age of 36. Yeah, I am blaming the father in that case. Lawlessness. God is not lawless. He's loving and strong and anxious to forgive all of us, unlike Washington, D.C. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Listening to Disciples View, I'm Todd Herman. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. I went and watched the entire speech that Harrison Butker gave, and it is breathtaking. A Catholic man goes to a Catholic university and says Catholic things, and non-Catholics are offended that a Catholic man went to a Catholic university and said Catholic things. So they have to find some way to cast Harrison Butker into an incredible enemy of, well, someone. And of course, it's women, and then it's same-sex attracted women, and it's hatred, and it's, and we'll get into this tomorrow. There's a cheerleader who's sort of appointed herself the chief responder to Harrison Butker and all his privilege, because she doesn't have any privilege as a cheerleader. Part of a broken world, isn't it? I was really relieved, I mean, really relieved, that it's not unanimous in the NFL. In fact, there's a lot of players who hold these opinions but stay quiet. But I saw this. Gracie Hunt is the daughter of the Kansas City Chiefs owner, and she defended the team's kicker, Harrison Butker, who's facing this sometimes fall outrage for giving a speech on traditional values.
We're going to start with you because the couch would like to know, as America would, the reaction from the Hunt family regarding the kicker, Harrison Butker.
Well, I can only speak from my own experience, which is I've had the most incredible mom who had the ability to stay home and be with us as kids growing up. And I understand that there are many women out there who can't make that decision, but for me in my life, I know it was really formative in shaping me and my siblings to be who we are.
So you understood what he was talking about?
For sure.
Okay.
And I really respect Harrison and his Christian faith and what he's accomplished on and off the field.
His Christian faith. She said it right there on Fox, and I'm glad to hear it. And to speak out as the daughter of the owner when the NFL, the official position of the Kansas City Chiefs is, they disown the speech. See, it's not tolerant, of course. And they're all about tolerance except for those views. I wish people understood the degree to which the situation through which you're living is a design situation. I've had people ask me sometimes, don't they see that they're the intolerant ones? Not anymore. This all began with the same kind of design that has caused us to now be arguing about what a woman is. Some of us aren't arguing. We're simply saying we're not going to pretend with you. We're not going to play along. Or arguing that we just can't figure out how to shut our borders. We can't figure it out.
except that we figured it out for many, many years. It's the same design. It's called repressive tolerance. Have you ever heard that phrase? It was designed by a guy named Herbert Marcuse. He was a German immigrant we rescued from World War II, or from the precursor to World War II, brought him here. He was given a professorship. He got to live in California and enjoy beaches. And he was one of those professors who would come over here and complain that there were too many flavors of ice cream, truly. He designed repressive tolerance, an actual design to tear apart the society. You become tolerant of anything that tears America apart and intolerant of anything that keeps America together. And it was designed to get down to the family level. Because the recognition was, you can't take America apart until you take apart the churches and the families. And it's here. We live through this. We're our two generations from Herbert Marcuse being a living being and causing these things. But we're two generations now of people who think they're the tolerant ones. How easy is it for Satan to con people when you don't have the code book? I'll tell you a funny story, I think, as we wrap up the show today. Remember the phrase code book? I once had to babysit my little brother, who's, I guess, we're both men now, but he was about half my age. And I got stuck babysitting him for a couple of days. I really actually enjoy him, and I enjoyed babysitting, so stuck with is the wrong phrase. But remember that phrase, code book. And I'll tell you how I brought that to bear when I was babysitting my little brother. It was fun. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
There are three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling to help us prove the point that God allows these people their moments in leadership so we can compare their wisdom against his. The boss of the corrupt World Health Organization wants us to eat fake meat because of, it says here, the weather.
Our food systems are harming the health of people and planet. Food systems contribute to over 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and account for almost one-third of the global burden of disease. Transforming food systems is therefore essential by shifting towards healthier, diversified, and more plant-based diets.
So, healthier and diversified, great. More plant-based, okay. But that's not the shift. The shift is this. No meat. The shift is this. It's now in New York. You have companies, I recall, like American Express, lining up to make sure there are days in schools where there's no meat. Now, if you don't want to eat meat, be my guest. My daughter is a vegan, and she's really good at it. And it's a hard way to live. It's a difficult way to do this. But once again, compare the bosses of the world, the common blessings God gave us to steward the earth and to have dominion over the animals versus them stepping in between us, the same way Bill Gates wants to step in and say, you have too much sunlight. I'm going to block the sun. You have too much of your own DNA. Have some of mine. It's remarkable. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Kim Fox, Cook County State Attorney, who is backed by anti-American color revolutionary George Soros, wants more drive-by shootings.
State's Attorney Kim Fox tonight tells the I-Team that before she leaves office early next year, she wants traffic stop-based searches by police to be prohibited unless there is a public safety threat.
Doing these searches, again, searches that have a disproportionate impact on Black and brown communities that don't net a public safety benefit, we should not do that.
Under this newly drafted state's attorney policy that has been obtained tonight by the I-Team, traffic stops for routine, minor infractions would not be allowed, and the state's attorney would decline to prosecute cases that are solely the product of a non-public safety traffic stop, even if a gun, drugs, or stolen property were found during the subsequent search.
For instance, the case of Dexter Reed, if he hadn't been stopped under a policy that would prevent non-public safety kinds of stops, he would probably still be alive today, but at the same time, you'd have an individual with a gun. Where's the balancing factor in that?
I would also say we'd have a police officer who wasn't shot in the line of duty as well.
Right, and we'd have Dexter Reed still with his gun for whatever reason. Now, I own guns, but I'm also not a criminal. I'm also going to comply with a cop. Officer says, don't roll up your window. I'm not rolling up my window. Dexter Reed made a different decision. Police officers use these tactics sometimes to pull people over because they know they're gangsters. That's just the truth. And then there's this. If they can't pull over known gangsters who have their taillights out, the gangsters know this. They don't bother to, well, care. You also have this, though. More drive-by shootings. And more black kids run over by bad cars. It's happened in the separate country of Seattle. Those traffic stops are not allowed there, so people street race. It's all the Overton window just opening further and further and further in the glorious revolution. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. James Tallarico is a Texas state representative, former middle school teacher who calls himself a proud, remember that word, progressive.
You can't call yourself a Christian and deny health care to the sick. You can't call yourself a Christian and vote to cut food stamps for the poor. You can't call yourself a Christian and reject the stranger seeking asylum at our southern border.
But you can call yourself a proud progressive. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, you can do all those things by saying, no, we'll provide the health care, not a corrupt government. Let's us do it. Let's us feed the poor, not a corrupt government doing it. And let's make people who come to our country respect Romans 13, our laws. You can actually be a Christian and do those things. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
So I got stuck, and that's not the right way to say it, but it was a surprise. I was told I needed to babysit my little brother. And so I got to do that. And Charlie was a smart kid. And I didn't really want to argue with him about things. He's my half-brother, by the way, but I didn't really want to argue with him about things. So I invented something called the rule book. It worked like a charm. So Charlie would come along and say, hey, Todd, I want to do this. I want to stay up like you do. He was half my age. And I would be able to look at him with all sincerity and say, you know, Charlie, I would really like you to be able to do that. I really would. But it's against the rules. What do you mean? It's in the rule book. So at the age of about 7, you go, oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. It's in the rule book. But I'd let you do it. I just can't. All right. Go to bed. At the age of 8 or 9, it was still kind of working. But he'd have this look on his face and he'd say, yeah, it's the rule book, Charlie. And he'd look at me and pause. The rule book. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it was probably 9 years old when Charles said to me, I want to see the rule book. I can't show you the rule book. Why? That's the first rule in the rule book. Kids don't get to see it. I don't know what age he was when he finally said to me, there's no rule book. I said, no, but it sure worked like a charm, hasn't it? He and I visited about that over the years. Now, see, it's an example of lawlessness. We're talking about lawlessness, but that brings up another memory. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Our kids. Watching them awaken to things. I remember my daughter saying to me once about Christmas. And yeah, we had stockings. We did that. We really tried hard to make it Jesus-focused, but we had the stockings and Christmas tree, and we did that stuff. And would always remind her that this is about Jesus Christ. And one day she said to me, Dad, is there Santa? She was about kindergarten. And I said, there's definitely a spirit of Santa, but the Christmas is about the only true God, Jesus Christ. But Mom and I, we have the spirit of Santa. Is there a Santa, Dad? And I said, do you want to know? We're driving in the car. She said, no. The next year, very next year, about the same time, by the way, driving down the same road, going to the same place, my daughter said, Dad, is there Santa? And I said, you asked me this last year. Do you want to know? Yes. No, there is no Santa Claus. There was a man who was has become a Catholic saint who cared for children, was known for his caring for children and brought kids gifts. And we celebrate that as a way of showing the gift of the Lord Jesus. And she goes, oh, I know about the gift of the Lord Jesus, but there's no Santa. I said, no. She goes, I knew it. I said, how long have you known this? And she said, well, I guess I've always suspected because we have such a small chimney. I said, okay, but why did you think there was one? She goes, the reindeer droppings. She goes, Dad, what were they? I said, the reindeer droppings. She said, yes, 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 at Christmas. I'd look out on the snow and there were reindeer droppings. What were those? I said, wait, I don't remember that. You don't? No. Maybe it was reindeer. For a second, she paused and then she smiled and laughed. She goes, I really do want to believe. I go, I know. What were the reindeer droppings? And I said, they were raisins, honey. They were raisins. To this day, she laughs about those stories. She also laughs about the fact that she didn't recognize me in my Santa attire. I was Santa at our church for most of her young life. One year, I forgot to take off my glasses. And she came to sit on my lap, and I was wearing these very unique glasses I wore. And she didn't recognize me, such as a kid's mind. Now that she's older, and she thinks of Christmas. And you know what really gets me is we'll tell these stories, and she'll laugh, and she told her boyfriend about that, about, oh yeah, the reindeer droppings. But you know what she also says? Is every single year at Christmas time, she says, do we have that same nativity? Yeah, the same one. Never throw that out. I want my kids to have it. I didn't even know how I started talking about Christmas today. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.